If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Very professional, and I think it probably came together early this morning, fairly early this morning. Just wrote it up. We didn't have access to lawyers, or we wrote it up from our hearts, right? It was written from the heart, and I think it was well written too. But it was written from the heart. It was written as something that I think was very positive for the world and for us. And we don't want to hurt countries that don't need to be hurt, and they all want to negotiate. The only problem is, you know, you can only do so many at one time. It's like, it's we want to do it right. We want to get it right. We want to take care of them, but we have to take care of our country. So, but this was something certainly we've been talking about for a period of time, and we decided to pull the trigger. And we did it today, and we're happy about it. I didn't know it would have that kind of an impact, but it's, you know, I think we have the biggest increase in the history of the stock market. That's pretty good. That's pretty, you're almost, you know, if you keep going, you're going to be back to where it was 4 weeks ago. But it was a sick market 4 weeks ago, you know, because the trade was sick. It was only a question of time. I don't blame the tariffs. I think the tariffs just sort of magnified what was happening. It was sick. Biden allowed these people to get away with murder. Biden allowed China to just take advantage of us. We had like a $1 trillion deficit with China, $1 trillion deficit. So that was going to only be a matter of time. I think the tariffs brought it out faster, and they magnified the problem. But I think this was a problem that existed far beyond tariffs. This was a systemic problem, and we're going to cure that problem. And maybe to a large extent we have, because we've revealed it, and we've revealed it very strongly. Yes, sir, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. So it seems China's made some serious missteps here in these negotiations, and Secretary Bessent said earlier you may have goaded them into a tough position here. I'm wondering, are you in a way putting together a coalition against China in terms of trade here?
No. Well, China, look, they're very capable, and I don't blame China for what happened. I blame the people sitting right at this desk. Right behind this desk or another desk, you get your choice of seven. I happen to pick the Resolute. But I blame the people sitting behind in this chair, behind this desk, for being stupid, incompetent, or not having courage. This should have been done years ago. This should have been done before Obama, in all fairness. Not only Biden, Obama It should have been done many years ago. This started with the World Trade Organization, which was owned by China. It was owned and paid for by China. They didn't even have to do things. They considered them a nation that was undeveloped. They said they were a developing nation. Well, we're a developing nation, too, if you think about it. Look at our inner cities. Look at what's happened. I think we're starting from ground zero there, right? So we're a developing nation, too. No, I don't. I know it's a lot of people take heat for saying it, but I blame the people sitting at this desk more than I blame China. If China can get away with what they got away with taking hundreds of billions and trillions of dollars right out of our pocket because our people here were stupid, they were stupid people. Maybe corrupt, I don't know. I don't know how you could be that stupid. How do you get to be president and you're stupid? But they certainly weren't courageous. And they allowed this to happen. And with Japan and with many other countries, it took advantage of us. I mean, we had deficits with almost every country. I used to read these things. First term, I'd read them. I'd actually read the agreements. I'd say, how could anybody agree to this stuff? So certainly they were rough and they were tough and they were smart. And you can blame them, but I really blame the people that allowed them to do it. Because, you know, if you could read first grade and you could read these agreements, you'd say, these are terrible deals. I actually used to say, who would allow deals like this to be made for our country? And maybe it's people that didn't care. Maybe it's people that weren't courageous. Maybe it's people that were corrupt. I don't know. But I blame those people more than I blame anybody else.
Mr. President,
you've been very specific in saying that you would like the EU to purchase U.S. energy. Is there something specific that you would like China to do?
Well, you'll be hearing about that. Yeah, there are a lot of things I'd like China to do.
Are there some examples?
There are a lot of things that I want China to do, and I'll be telling China what that is. Not you. I'm telling China.
Mr. President, you said the other day that if they do not agree to a potential nuclear deal, that it would be very dangerous for them. What specifically?
Well, they can't have a nuclear war.
Did you mean military action, though, if they don't agree?
Oh, if necessary? Absolutely. Yeah.
Do you have a deadline for these talks?
Yeah, I do.
And
you're talking about with Iran?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Do you want something definitive this weekend, or do you see this as the start of a process?
It's a start.
Do you have a timeline?
We have a little time, but we don't have much time.
Who is the start of the
Because we're not going to let them have a nuclear weapon.
Is
can't let them have
a nuclear weapon.
And we're going to let them thrive. I want them to thrive. I want Iran to be great. The only thing they can't have is a nuclear weapon. They understand that. You know, the people are so incredible in Iran, and they're so smart. They're very smart people. And, you know, they're in a rough situation, rough regime. But they understand, and the leaders understand. And I'm not asking for much. They can't have a nuclear weapon, and I've said that. And I was a little bit surprised, because when the election was rigged, I figured they'd get their weapon, because with me, they were broke. They were broke. They had no money because of the sanctions. Nobody could buy oil. We did that to Venezuela just recently. And we'll do it to other countries if we have to.
What is the problem?
I want to see Russia and Ukraine make a deal. They got to make a deal. When schools get blown up and bad things happen, like I'm hearing about, it's no good. I hope we're going to make a deal with Russia and Ukraine. But with Iran, if it requires military, we're going to have military. Israel will obviously be very much involved in that. He'll be the leader of that. But nobody leads us. We do what we want to do.
We don't want military.
When would the talks need to conclude before you might do military?
I can't really be specific, but, you know, when you start talks, you know if they're going along well or not. And I would say the conclusion would be when I think they're not going along well. So that's just a feeling.
Mr. President, on the subject of U.S. troops stationed in Europe, do you have any plans to reduce the number of U.S. troops in Europe or in other NATO countries?
Well, good. I mean, it depends. We pay for military over in Europe. You know, we don't get reimbursed by much. South Korea, too. So it will be one of the things we discuss that's unrelated to trade, but I think we'll make it part of it because it makes sense. Be nice to wrap it all up in one package for each country. You know, it's nice and clean, and we have plenty of law firms. These are great law firms that we signed with. the best. And I think part of the way I'll spend some of the money that we're getting from the law firms, you know, in terms of their legal time, will be, if we can do it, I think we can do it, using these great law firms to represent us with regard to the many, many countries that we'll be dealing with. We'll have good lawyers representing us, but we want to have good lawyers, and these are the best, considered the best lawyers in the world, right? I mean, considered the best in the world. I don't know. They just went off a little bit.
All right, we're going to have to jump out of this, but it's just about done. I was monitoring it, and it's a couple more questions, but basically kind of the same thing the president already said regarding China. So there you go. He wants to make a deal with China. He says he knows Xi Jinping well, and he wants to make a deal, and they need to make a deal with China. But the 90-day pause on tariffs, and the president said all these countries are coming to make a deal. So we'll have a lot more on that for you. We're going to take a very quick break, turn it right around, and come right back. So don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
By the way, Gretchen Whitmer was there at the White House today talking about some fish in the Great Lakes. So I thought that was kind of she looked very uncomfortable being there, but she's hoping for the Army Corps of Engineers to help get this invasive fish species that's in the lake. But I just sounds like, is that Gretchen Whitmer? But anyway, coal. So I want to share with you a statement that was said by the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance. They said that they applaud the president's executive orders today that will reinvigorate America's coal industry, promote grid reliability, and ensure national security. Pennsylvania coal is a driving force that powers our economy and sustains the quality of lives of our residents. Yet misguided policies from previous administrations and irresponsible state policies have intensified power shortages across the nation and weakened domestic manufacturing. We are nearing the height of a reliability crisis, and today's executive orders, yesterday's, coupled with EPA's efforts to revisit irresponsible policies that pick winners and losers and would further exacerbate power shortages across the nation, is an overdue directive that will help address grid reliability and national security, said Rachel Gleason, the executive director of the Pennsylvania Coal Alliance. Experts from the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, regional grid managers, and utilities have warned our grid is facing an impending crisis, which in Pennsylvania could culminate as early as 2026. Supply and demand are accelerating at an unprecedented and unpredictable rate, and we are in the midst of needing to add massive amounts of baseload reliable energy to the grid at a scale that is more than double the megawatts of announced fossil fuels retirements. So you see, we think about natural gas a lot in Pennsylvania, but coal is also a very critical part of the state's economy, but also for the state's electricity and the nation's electric reliability as well. So there we go. And that makes me very happy that we are going to be easing regulations on coal and energy in general. And the 5 o'clock happy hour is brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Book a June midweek package at the Grand Hotel of Cape May and receive resort credits on 3, 5, or 7 nights. GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Here's a 20-year coal miner named Anthony Sable. It's cue up cut number 5, talking about what this means for him and his career. And I think a lot of Pennsylvania coal workers, the coal people, as Bill Clinton once referred to them, or when Hillary Clinton went down to coal country and used that phony, I know, Bo, that phony fake accent of hers. Cut number 5.
It's been, you know, a little bit rough, but, you know, with this executive orders that President Trump has signed, it's great impact. You know, for the impact will be great as I continue to work in the industry, which I love. I've been a coal miner now for nearly 20 years. And the president was correct when he said that you can't just take a coal miner and give him another career. Many of us would not want to do that. We love our beautiful, clean coal. We need to be focused more on coal innovation and less on coal elimination. For our energy needs and security, coal is the most reliable and economical fuel for the electric power generation. We don't have to choose one fuel source over another. We are using enough electricity that we will need all forms of energy, especially in the AI future. These executive orders will also bring good-paying jobs to workers. You know, we've lost about 45,000 coal mining jobs since 2011. And for every coal miner, there are 10 other jobs that support them. So think of the hundreds of thousands of jobs that we lost that we can now be given back.
You know, the other thing, too, is, and I keep bringing this up, but it's important to keep bringing up, New Jersey we are facing a huge rate increase coming this summer. And it's because the idiot, his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, started shutting down coal plants in New Jersey. And now we have to buy our energy out of state. So it's so stupid. I'm also very happy the president today announcing deregulation of water in terms of shower pressure and dishwashers and washing machines. Let me tell you, that's a huge, huge deal. It really is. The low flow shower heads are stupid. Besides, you should, as a consumer, it's your choice. You want to have a big, powerful shower that you pay for, you're paying for that. So it's up to you how much shower you want to use. Like when I was a kid, Papa Zioli, we had a septic system. So Papa Zioli, the 5-minute showers, guy had an egg timer. He wasn't messing around. But nowadays, we know that it's ridiculous to think that when you use that shower water, it just disappears. The water is used again. They have water treatment plants. So it's moronic and stupid that we have low flow anything, whether it's a dishwasher, washing machine, or a shower. But it's up to you. If you want to have, they said that, if you want to have a low flow shower head, save a little money, you can do that too. You want to have a low flow, I myself do not. I want the most powerful flow that won't send me to the back of the shower wall like Kramer and cause me injuries. The highest pressure I can get without physically sending me to the back of the shower wall. That's how I view it. That's me. That's what I like. And yes, I proudly have told you over the years how I've taken shower heads and I've gone in there with and ripped out those stupid low flow things. Yeah. And Congress should codify that into law so that we don't have to worry about potentially a Democrat getting in there in a couple of years. And then on day one, redoing all that and saying you can't have water pressure and enough water pressure to actually clean your clothes and your dishes. Okay, Governor Marcy of West Virginia talking about how important this is. West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Ohio, look, all these states are critical. Coal and energy and natural gas. And Joe Manchin ended his political career when he sold out and voted for the so-called Green New Deal, the Inflation Reduction Act, which did not reduce inflation. It drove inflation up and it would screwed his own state. And because of that, now Republicans are dominating West Virginia, as they should be. Here's the governor of West Virginia, cut number 6.
Well, look, I think this is a great first step, and Donald Trump is keeping his promise to West Virginia and to the American people because he knows the importance of coal to the nation's energy portfolio. And I think the other thing he really gets is that this is a national security question. Right now, we are engaging in an information technology fight, really a war against China in terms of how fast we can feed energy into data and information technology, because that's the battlefield into the future. And China is producing one coal-fired power plant after another. And that's why it's important to not only have gas and other forms of energy in the portfolio, but to have coal as well,
right?
Because coal is reliable, it's affordable, and I think it's very much needed for the fights ahead.
All these things are needed for the fights ahead. All these things are needed for the United States of America to be turning around and ensuring we have energy independence, energy reliability, and that we can also sell our energy to the rest of the world. Because, you know, as part of these deals with all these countries calling to kiss the president, actually, I have the clip of him saying this last night at the NRCC dinner. Every now and then I get in trouble because I use the A word. And somebody yelled at me one time at the Grand Hotel at Cape May, which we'll be back there June 20th. I was like, what do you have to say that word for? Well, the president said it last night anyway. All these countries calling him up. Cut number 4.
In the history of our country. And don't let some of these politicians go around saying, you know, because I'm telling you, these countries are calling us up, kissing my ass. They are dying to make a deal. Please, please, sir, make a deal. I'll do anything. I'll do anything, sir. And then I'll see some rebel Republican, you know, some guy that wants to grandstand, say, I think that Congress should take over negotiations. Let me tell you, you don't negotiate like I negotiate.
Just so you know, Congress eventually does need to take this power back from the president. We have given the president too much power for national emergencies. That's the thing. And I've been saying that for years, whether it's Trump or it's Biden or it's Obama. I don't care who the president is. That's just a thing. And, you know, I'm going to be consistent with that, like I've been consistent with everything over the course of time. Yeah, the president should be negotiating these things. Congress shouldn't be negotiating. But the unilateral power of the president to declare emergencies, Congress needs to have a check on that. And you need to be consistent in that, whether it's your guy in the White House or it's somebody else's guy in the White House. Because every 4 years, we could elect a dictator. Wait, what? No, really, Sunny Hostin said that on The View today. She's an attorney, you know. She's a lawyer. Every 4 years in this country, we could elect a dictator. I don't know what that means exactly, but take a listen.
When you, from my perspective, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking no country can count on America anymore. They're going to ice us out economically. We're going to be on our own because they're not going to be able to depend on a country that every 4 years could elect a dictator. They can't rely upon us.
They can't. They get every 4 years elected dictator. So. You know, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Let's just move on. So another stupid clip, though, I have, though. I've got to make sure I share this with you. This is a TikToker who had an insane breakdown because the Dodgers went to the White House. The Eagles are going to the White House on the 28th. I imagine that some crazy person in our area will also have a meltdown when that occurs. I would imagine. This is cut number 13.
I'm crashing the out. Just tell me, why are the Dodgers going to the White House?
How long did it take you to edit that clip, just out of curiosity?
A very, very long time. I think there's close to 30 bleeps in a 51-second clip. I actually was editing that audio while sitting next to my girlfriend the other night, and she was my fake girlfriend. Right. She was so disgusted by hearing beep after beep after beep that she got up and walked away.
Now, were that more beeps than the other video of the Trump dum dum dum, that guy who we love, who had more beeps?
No, that guy definitely had more beeps, but he also had a longer video, I think.
Yeah, true.
Second, yeah, in terms of average beeps per second, I think this TikToker wins, though.
Man, I mean, it was all a bleep. Basically, I heard the word Dodgers in there, I think, one time, and it was just a giant bleep.
I like that she ripped their shirt. You bought the shirt. I don't know who are you really getting back at that point.
You're getting back at Trump for that one. All right. You just remember that. You're getting back at the Dodgers and Trump for destroying your own shirt. Obviously, everybody knows that. Man, there's crazy people out there. Holy cow. But I did love when the president went after Adam Schiff last night at the dinner, called him a sick degenerate. Sorry. And he had a new nickname for him. This one I hadn't heard before. I'd heard pencil neck, but I don't know if I've heard this one before. Have you heard this, the one about his head? Have you heard that before?
I think he has mentioned it before.
Has he? All right. Well, it's kind of maybe invoking a little bit of So I Married an Axe Murderer with orange on a toothpick, you know. Heed down. Look at the size of that boy's noggin. Cut 15.
And that's with all of the difficulties and all of the fake investigations and the Adam Shifty Shifts. Can you believe this guy? He's got the smallest neck I've ever seen. And the biggest head. We call them watermelon head. How could that big fat face stand on a neck that looked like this finger? How can it? It was the weirdest thing. It's a mystery. Nobody can understand it. But he's one of the most dishonest human beings I've ever seen. And you know how we can allow people like that to run in office is a shame, but we did. He was in charge of the witch hunt. You know, he was in charge of the fake witch hunt with Russia, Russia, Russia. It was a made-up story. Made up. Think of it. They make up a story. They know it's made up. It's gone on for a year and a half, 2 years. Russia, Russia, Russia. I knew nothing about it. The only thing I knew was that I taxed the pipeline that I told you about, that I put all sorts of sanctions and everything else. They never had a problem like they had with me.
Well, Watermelon Head, I like that. The Watermelon Head's a good name for him, I think, Watermelon Head. I think we'll stick with that one, shall we? That's a good one. You know, it's been, we've had a couple of very tense days, and I, for one, by the way, I'm very happy that today is a day that we can all be excited because the stock market ended on a very high note. And some idiot on CNBC said trillions of dollars were lost. That's only if you pull your money out of the market. If you kept your money in the market, then you didn't lose money because that's how the market works. It goes down, it goes up, it goes down. But when it's down and then you keep your money in the market, you will make that money back. So the idea that the money was lost is if you keep your money in the market for the long-term play, that's the whole point about it. It's like saying real estate values are very similar too. In the same way, with respect, you go, well, you know, you lost all this money in your home. If the market dips, yeah, and if you hang on to the home and you go through another cycle, you might make more money on your house. It's just kind of the law of economics. You get out when it's high and you buy in when it's low, and you sometimes have to ride out the storm. But I think that's just ridiculous to say. But I guess that's what Democrats are going to go on. They're going to go on this notion and say that trillions of dollars were lost. But yeah, this was the S&P's 500 gain today. It was the biggest one-day increase since October of 2008. Since October of 2008. So this notion of trillions of dollars are gone and we're never going to make that out up again is a ridiculous, irresponsible, stupid thing to say by somebody on CNBC. Remember, a lot of these shows, these networks don't hire actual experts. They hire people that are going to make news. That's what they're there to do, which is to make news. And CNBC is still owned by NBC, which is Comcast. Same, it's the sister station of MSNBC. You know where their agenda lies. You know where NBC's agenda lies. I personally like Fox Business. Everybody's beating up Charlie Gasparino for pointing out the comment he made about the bond market. He's not wrong. I mean, I give the president credit for acknowledging that, yeah, people were panicking. The bond market was falling apart. People were dumping U.S. Treasury bonds, and the president adjusted accordingly. That's what you want a president to do. You don't want somebody who's so stubborn and arrogant that he would allow a market crash. So it's like the president addressed that early on when he spoke at the White House, and he said there was some panic and we had to do this. And good, I'm glad he did. It was the right, responsible thing to do. These nations have been brought to the table to negotiate. And now we got to work out the China piece of this. And it would be foolish, as Secretary Scott Bessent talked about, to not realign, to realign U.S. trade to China. That would be a very stupid thing. And he said that at the Bankers Association summit. So I'm not going to play the clip. I don't have time, but it's important to note that now that doesn't have to happen because these other countries can work with the United States, come up with these long-term deals. And one thing, though, that Democrats have been pounding about for years has been human rights abuses by China. They never really meant it. It's just like the same thing with Disney, you know, shooting their live action Mulan movie and then thanking the people that are enslaving the Uyghurs. They never really meant it. But for years, they said all those things. I just wonder if they will, again, acknowledge all of the human rights abuses by China for one of those things. That's what I'd like to know. That's one of those things that we'll be watching for as we continue along. There's some breaking news regarding the Secret Service and that guy Ryan Routh, who was trying to buy weapons from Ukraine to try to kill President Trump, who was former President Trump, candidate Trump at the time. And we'll talk about that with our friend Susan Crabtree. Plus, Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro, he says he's taking a wait-and-see approach in reviewing Trump's school funding threat over DEI. Shapiro, of course, he wants to run for president in 2028. Listen, Dr. Mike Venneri is a great guy, great friend of the show, and he is the master of dental implants, the master of giving you a beautiful smile. I'd love for you to make an appointment today to go see Dr. Mike, because my whole family goes to Dr. Mike Venneri for the reason that for over 10 years in a row, 10 consecutive years, he's been recognized as a master of dental implants. a master of giving people the smile that they deserve. And the year's flying by. Here we are. It's spring. If you haven't seen a dentist yet, you need to, because it's crucial to your health. Your dental health affects your heart health, your gut health. It's all connected. And Dr. Mike has two offices, Cinnaminson and Woodbury, worth the drive from wherever you're coming from to get that wonderful dental care with great people in the office and great music playing, just really dedicated to your health, your smile, and giving you the smile you need and you dream of. So if you need complicated dental work, if you need an implant, root canal, pain-free dental care, it's all there with Vanaria Dental. Just go to VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, Vanaria Dental, or call him today at 856-786-2020. 856-786-2020 or VanariaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Very, very lucky to have one of the top-notch reporters out there, investigative journalists, and that's our friend Susan Crabtree. She's also the author of the book, Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. She is the national political correspondent at Real Clear Politics. You can follow her on X at Susan Crabtree. Hello, my friend. Thanks for joining us again today. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rich. The stock market's roaring back, so the jitters are over, at least for now. I guess there'll be some volatility, but you know, it's a good day to be American, standing up for American steel. That's something I know that people in your neck of the woods care a lot about.
Yep.
And it's good for the country as a whole. So we're going to face some volatility because you're going to have some standoff with China for the foreseeable future. I don't think they're going to fold easily. This has to do with President Xi's, whether he's going to be threatened from within the Communist Party. His leadership is going to be threatened. So I don't see they're going to be folding anytime soon. So there'll be a big standoff until there's a negotiation. It'll be an interesting times we live in for sure.
Well, I'm glad that the president deregulated coal yesterday, because that also is good for Pennsylvania. It's good for the country. And then today, the showerhead announcement made me very, very happy, because I like full showers. You know what I mean, Susan? And the same with washing machines and dishwashers too. So that was a
toilet.
Big deal as well.
Toilets.
Right?
Out here in California, where I live, we have a toilet issue. Our plumbers tell us if you really don't want to flush twice, you need to get your toilets from Nevada or somewhere else.
Oh, gosh.
It's hilarious, because what Trump is saying is actually true. You use more water because the water's coming out slower. Same with the toilet flushing. You flush twice. It is a silly policy. You know, it's more virtue signaling to foreign environmentalists than anything else.
So a couple of things to talk about. How's the book going, Fool's Gold? And, you know, you've pointed out a lot of great things about Gavin Newsom and his hypocrisy, speaking of China, and everything he's enabled for China to capitalize on, which has also enriched himself.
Yeah. Well, the book's going great. We've done a lot of publicity. They're selling very well. I'm extremely pleased. We had a great review in the Washington Examiner calling it, you know, an extremely well-written, exhilarating ride. To find out more, if anybody wants to find out about corruption in California, they need to read this book now. But it's not only in California, because the California policies are getting exported all over the country, as we've talked about before. And today you had Gavin Newsom. He's like acting like he's a mini nation leader in California, trying to negotiate with China and others. He's saying, hey, we're all open for negotiation. The President Trump folded, but we will be consistent. We'll be consistent in letting you exploit our resources, having China, as you know, we talked about, he started a nonprofit called China SF in San Francisco and let in more than 100 Chinese companies, which dumped their solar products and other things onto the California and U.S. markets and undercut our own companies, some mm-hmm. that we subsidized to the tune of 500 million like Solyndra, and they went bust because the Chinese companies that Gavin Newsom enticed to come with tax incentives were exploiting our resources and dumping their products on our market, just like they do with the steel products. So, you know, Gavin Newsom says we're open for business, but the Donald Trump's the one that's really stood up to China. He's the only one that stood up to China. And Gavin Newsom was having fun over there in China just a few years ago, taking his picture with President Xi and having the taking glamour shots. He brought along a photographer that cost the California taxpayers $100,000 a year to take glamour shots of him on the Great Wall. And as you know, we uncovered in our book, the first time this has been reported, that he was actually trademarking his wines when he was inviting the Chinese company into California. He was trademarking his wines into China and pouring them at tastings with CCP officials that were at a very shishi restaurants with, you know, business people that had very extensive ties with CCP. So mm-hmm. yeah, the issue of China is going to stay in the news for a long time, but Gavin's record is not great on that front. I covered PNTR back in the day, permanent normal trade relations with China, and all those members of Congress, Republicans, even Democrats and Republicans alike, allowed that nation to gain an edge, a big edge with us in the trade wars. And that seems to be what Donald Trump is trying to tackle. And he's standing up. He's the first president really to stand up to China.
Yeah. And Gavin Newsom, of course, we should also remember when the Chinese visited California, of course, they rolled out the red carpet and proudly hung the Chinese Communist Party flag. So we should also remember that. Susan, let's switch gears for a second, because you broke some news again. You've been all over the Secret Service and the investigations around the Secret Service, whistleblowers, the assassination attempt on the president and Butler. Now there's news regarding this guy, Ryan Routh, and the assassination attempt on President Trump at his golf course in Florida. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we had a court filing in the Southern District of Florida that was Monday night. So we all woke up to this Tuesday. I got a hold of the documents, found them in the court system online. And what they're saying is that Ryan Routh was trying to procure a Stinger missile, a rocket-propelled grenade, military-grade missile from what he believed to be an asset of the Ukrainian military. He was talking to them at the same about August 25, right after the Butler attempt, in the months and the weeks after he was trying to procure this. He not only was trying to procure a Stinger, he was telling them, hey, can you ship this to me? Because they showed intent that they said we can't, because President Trump is not going to be good for Ukraine. That showed intent, and that's what the lawyers were trying to lay out in this court document, that this evidence that was on his, they found on his device, on his encrypted app, on one of his cell phone's devices, that's what he was doing. They don't show the other side, and what that leads me to believe is this person he thought was a Ukrainian military asset might have been the FBI.
Right.
Like a little bit of a wrinkle in all of this.
What would the implications of that be if that is, in fact, the case, you think?
Well, why didn't the FBI do something? If the FBI, if it was an FBI agent, which, you know, it's just my speculation, mm-hmm. or someone in U.S. intelligence, if they were the ones interacting with this guy, why didn't they stop it? And why was he allowed to go to Trump International in West Palm Beach and sit there and have nobody find him until he was pointing his rifle at the president and Secret Service while they were playing golf. So is this an FBI fail? Is this another FBI fail like 9/11? That's what I'm wondering.
It reminds me of when you read about Lee Harvey Oswald and you find out that the FBI interviewed him and didn't take him seriously and closed the file on him. And it very eerily reminiscent of that, Susan Crabtree. That's what popped into my mind right away. You know, and you wonder, is that it, was that just human error by bureaucrats who thought this guy was crazy or something else? Because I still can't get over the fact that this happened right on the heels of Butler. And I still can't get over the fact that we don't have any answers on Butler yet either. So I'm assuming that if this person is an FBI agent or undercover operative or whatever in some capacity, I would like all that information to come forward. There's a lot of things around the FBI that I'm waiting for Kash Patel to tell us, like the people who were there on January 6th and this story, this situation. There's a lot of things here. I'm waiting for the revelations to happen, Susan Crabtree.
Absolutely. Same thing. We were a little disappointed with the Epstein files and the promises made on that score. The FBI and the Secret Service both need major reforms.
Yes.
I mean, they've been politicized. The Secret Service is more just riddled with failure and riddled with, you know, DEI policies and lack of training and manpower issues. I reported last week on Friday that there was going to be DOGE cuts to the Secret Service and to all Department of Homeland Security agencies. And I've reported on Friday they were going to get an email from DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, and that email did come on Monday because of the leaks. I guess they delayed it, but that's not going to be to agents. They said that agents is going to be applying to mainly administrative people and probationary people, not law enforcement itself. So that was good news on Monday because the Secret Service is definitely facing a terrible morale and manpower issue, but they don't seem to be announcing any reforms, just like with the FBI. I want to see what do you mean? Why are there still, there was a lot of promotions that were put out a few weeks ago, and the agents that know all the ins and outs of the Secret Service that talk to me on a regular basis, they're saying these were DEI hires that were promoted. A lot of them. So I'm looking into that right now. That's causing me some concern. And we don't know if the Secret Service is going to move from back into Treasury, if they're going to let go all of these counterfeit financial crime investigation and focus solely on protective missions. Mm-hmm. This has been discussed extensively since these assassination attempts, but we haven't seen any movement on that front. So is Sean Kern really a change agent? It's yet to be seen. I have not. Honestly, I have not seen much. You know, I was more hopeful that he would shake things up over there, but I haven't seen the shakeup that I was expecting and other people were hoping for after such failures on display last year.
Yeah, and I think, look, you know, we want to be patient, obviously, but at the same time, you know, I saw pictures today of Kash Patel and Pam Bondi with, you know, these big drug takedowns. They took drug busts. I mean, that's all great, but you're going after drug dealers is fine. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but at the same time, like, there's a lot of things within these agencies that we are hoping that they will start exposing and get to the bottom of here, because this weaponization of our government, this is what has to be exposed. My fear is that the longer it goes without them bringing this stuff forward, the you're giving the people time to cover their tracks. You know, I worry about that. Dan Bongino put out something cryptic, I think this week or last week. You probably saw it, where he said, you know, just because you're not seeing something doesn't mean it's not happening, or something to that effect. So hopefully, you know, hopefully that'll be the case, and we'll start getting these kind of reforms. But I think before the reforms happen, we have to kind of get to the bottom of so many different things, right? Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, well, there's that report that Donald Trump mentioned about the Secret Service internal report that they on Butler and on the second assassination attempt. And they, you know, Trump said he was supposed to be on his desk from the Secret Service weeks ago. We have heard nothing about that. I'm told that it's a classified report that is actually much more detailed and riddled with issues that the public should know about within the Secret Service, but they've classified it on purpose to keep it from certain from scrutiny from the Office of Inspector General at DHS and also from certain members of Congress. So I'm going to be trying to pursue that too, because that internal report is supposedly has some I won't say explosive, but very interesting elements to it that we haven't heard about yet. So I don't know if did Trump get it. They're not talking. Nobody's talking after he announced that a couple weeks ago that he expected it on his desk next week. So maybe they are busy behind the scenes, but they need to show some effort that they are going to shake things up and to reform these agencies. At least say whether they think it's a good idea to move it back to Treasury or keep it with DHS and focus on protective missions. And the FBI needs to, come out and really say, show exactly how they're going to get rid of this politicization that happened. For so many years, it was politicized against people going to school board meeting to express interest in their children's, to push back on some of the woke issues in the public schools across the country.
Yeah.
But the FBI was weaponized against those people, too. I mean, that's just ridiculous. What was happening?
Susan Crabtree, always love talking to you. And the book, I can't recommend it highly enough. It is fantastic. Fool's Gold. And you should definitely order it today. The Radicals, Con Artists, and Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. There's a lot to learn there. And follow Susan on X at Susan Crabtree. Keep up the great work. I look forward to chatting with you next week, my friend. Thank you.
You keep up the great work, too. I really appreciate it. All your commitment. Thank you so much, Rich.
You bet.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Okay. By the way, and I meant to actually bring this up with Susan, but I forgot. There's this story about the number of people on the left. 55% of self-identified leftists believe killing Trump is justified. Believe that? I mean, this is what I mean. Why we need to have these reforms in these agencies, because there are freaking crackpots out there, man. I mean, 55% of self-identified leftists say killing Donald Trump is justifiable. This is a story from the Federalist that I saw. And the unhinged left, fueled by Trump derangement syndrome, seething hatred for Elon Musk, trending more violent, according to a new study that finds political violence targeting President Donald Trump and his billionaire advisor becoming increasingly normalized. It's a report that was produced by the Network of Contagion Research Institute in partnership with Rutgers University's Social Perception Lab, finds a broader assassination culture appears to be emerging within segments of the U.S. public on the extreme left, with targets now including figures such as Donald Trump. And today they asked Chuck Schumer, he was getting into an elevator, and this reporter asked him, Senator, can you say anything about all the terrorism against Tesla vehicles and Tesla owners? And he said, I won't comment on that, but I'll tell you, Elon Musk is the worst, and America knows that, and we're waking up to that fact. And you can look at Minnesota for that example, or whatever something he said. It's a stupid Wisconsin. I forget what he said, but I think Wisconsin. He wouldn't condemn it, though. He wouldn't condemn the Tesla violence. He wouldn't condemn the destruction of these vehicles and people throwing Molotov cocktails at them and everything else. And these people think it's justified. Less than a year after assassination attempts on then presidential candidate Trump. And this is what I've told you. Remember the time I was on Fox News at 4 a.m., the new prime time, 4 a.m., and that the guest fill-in host was asking me at 4 a.m., don't both sides need to turn down the rhetoric? And I said, no, it's not both sides need to turn down the rhetoric. I have no problem with passionate, heated political debate. But there's one side that is talking about killing Trump and calling him Hitler and saying all the crazy things that they say, and that's the left. And I'm not going to sit here and say that there's some moral equivalency with both sides. It's not both sides. You keep hearing constantly that this man is Hitler. This man's a threat to the Republic and to the world and blah, blah, blah. And Elon Musk is Hitler. And you have 55% of the people think it's justifiable to kill them. That's because people think if you had a time machine, it's justifiable to go back and kill Hitler. It's one of the first things you debate in philosophy class. Is it okay to kill baby Hitler? So I'm not surprised by this. I'm really not. I'm not surprised that 55% of the extreme left would say that violence, the killing Trump or Elon Musk would be justifiable. I'm not surprised by that at all, because you keep telling somebody that they're Hitler. If I had a chance to kill Hitler, I would do it. If I could go back in time, I mean, I'd pull a Valkyrie. I would have tried to whack the guy too. So this is why this rhetoric from the left is not comparable to the rhetoric on the left, on the right, not even close. All right, I have a whole other hour to get to and a lot of stuff to get to because Trump ate up a lot of time of the show today, as he always seems to do. But that's the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental, two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Schedule your free implant consultation for your perfect smile at VeneriaDental.com. And when it comes to your home, protection, peace of mind, and craftsmanship are paramount. That's why Emmons is my go-to contractor for roofing, siding, and windows. They even have a new bathroom division. Emmons will not only make your home great again, it will be stunning from the curb and will also be energy efficient, secure, and ready to withstand the elements of winter. With Emmons, you know you're getting top quality materials and the finest craftsmanship in the area. So, whether it's a durable, lifetime-warranted Owens Corning roof that stands up to severe weather, siding that keeps your home insulated and looking sharp, or new windows that blend functionality with style, Emmons has you covered. They are offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacement. So don't wait. Call Emmons today at 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, or check out their website at emmonsroofing.com. Upgrade your home with confidence today with Emmons Roofing and Siding, and make sure you tell them I sent you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.